Okay, the last 2 weeks we talked about Tzedek Kedushin. I'd like to close the circle here today to finish this topic. Last time we started discussing the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin, and we pointed out that the Bar Pi HaGafen of each, right, each one has a Bar Pi HaGafen, but they're not necessarily the same. That the Bar Pi HaGafen of the Birchas Erisin, this is a later minig, but the Bar Pi HaGafen of the Birchas Nisuin, at least according to one Girsa, seems to be from the Gemara. Right, Ikar Adin. What's the difference, whether it's from Minig or it's Medina? So we said the difference might be that if it's only a Minig, so then maybe it's viewed as a Birchas Hananim. It's not viewed as a Birchas Achova. A Birchas Achova, you know, if it's from the Gemara, so then it's part of the Sherei Brachas itself, so then it's a Birchas Achova. But if it's only the Minig, that means that we want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a kos of Yayin. You say the Birchas Erisin, let's assume like the Rosh that it's a Birchas HaShemach, so we want to do that over a kosher yayin because it adds to the praise. So we add a Bar Pi HaGafen, but it's not a Birchas HaChova. So if it's not a Birchas HaChova, so then maybe the Din of Yotzei Motzi is not going to apply. Maybe the Masada Kedushin can't say the Bar Pi HaGafen and the Birchas Erisin and then give the Chasan and Kala to drink without drinking himself, because we only say Yotzei Motzi by Birchas HaChova. Yotzei Motzi means that you're not being Yotzei yourself. You're not drinking yourself, but you're being Motzi someone else. So maybe the Masada Kedushin and the Birchas Erisin has to drink a little bit so that it's not Yotzei Motzi, but rather it's Shomea Ka'ona that he's saying for himself, and the Shomea is hearing that bracha and he's being Yotzei as well. So this is the source of the minig of the Chumrah Reb Chaim had. I think I alluded to this last time. The Sefer Afike Yam, beautiful Lamdash Sefer, made it big in the yeshivas. And the Chelek Beis of the Afike Yam and Simon Beis, he quotes an edus from Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, who was the Dayan in Brisk. Reb Chaim was the Rav in Brisk, and Rav Simcha Zelig was known as the Dayan in Brisk. And Reb Chaim quotes him in the Sefer on the Rambam, quotes Menachas Tefillin once. So he made it. Rav Simcha Zelig was a big Talmid Chacham. He was killed by the Nazis in Machshima. So Rav Simcha Zelig was made that Reb Chaim used to drip a little bit of the Birchas Erisin on his fingers so that he could taste from the Kol Shel Bracha. Because he was machmer to assume the Bar Pi HaGafen, the Birchas Erisin, is just a Birchas Hananim. It's not a Birchas Hananim Shel Chova. So we're not going to say Yotzei Motzi, but rather only Shomea Ka'ona. So if he's not Yotzei himself, so then it's Docha Baruch Levatola. So that's why he would drip a little bit on his fingers. But he himself was not makbid by the Birchas Nisuin. Sefer Figayam quotes others who were makbid even by the Birchas Nisuin to assume that you have to drip the wine on your fingers. Reb Chaim, the way he quotes it, Reb Chaim was only makbid by the Birchas Erisin. So interestingly enough, in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes from the Rav that the Rav was not makbid for this. Even in the Birchas Erisin, he did not drip on his fingers. And Rav Shechter quotes from the Sefer Matike Shmua, which is an interesting collection, a beautiful collection of different pieces, lumdish ideas of the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav apparently said that he doesn't remember his father, Reb Chaim, ever doing that. So I don't know, Simcha Zelig said Reb Chaim did it, and the Brisker Rav said he doesn't remember Reb Chaim ever drinking from the coast. Maybe what the Brisker Rav meant is he never saw his father drinking from the coast. Okay, he didn't drink from the coast, but maybe he did it in such a way that he always licked from his fingers. But Simcha Zelig was not, you know, he wasn't a style person. When he saw Reb Chaim doing this, I guess he saw Reb Chaim being Masada Kedushin many times, and every single time he's licking from his fingers. You know, Halodover, it's interesting. So he must have felt that Reb Chaim was doing this. I don't know, maybe he asked him, I don't know. But it's interesting that there's like a stira in the Masorah, you know, what exactly Reb Chaim did. But that's in terms of the Birchas Erisin. In terms of Birchas Nisuin, there's less of a reason to force someone to do that, to be machmer to do that, because of the Birchas Nisuin, since the Medina de Gemara, maybe we should treat the Bar Pi HaGafen as a Bracha Shel Chova. And if it's a Bracha Shel Chova, so then Yotzei Motzi would work. So even though the Masada Kedusha is not being Yotzei right now, but he can be Motzi someone else anyway. He'll be Motzi the Chasan and Kala, and the Chasan and Kala Taka are going to drink. So there's less of a reason to be Makar by the Birchas Nisuin. But some are, says the Afik Yam, some are. Now we just pointed out last time that if they don't give Sha'akal Bar Lechvodo, the second bracha, to the one who makes the Bar Pi HaGafen, so then there might be a reason to drip the coast a little bit, to drink from the coast. Why? Because even if the Bar Pi HaGafen of the Birchas Nisuin is like a bracha Shel Chova, but maybe the only time that we look at a Birchas Hananin as a bracha Shel Chova to say that the Yotzei Motzi will apply is if it's mitzuruf to another bracha Shel Chova, not just the Birchas Hananin. Now, we've discussed when it comes to Bar Pi HaGafen of Kiddush of Shachris, Kiddush on Shabbos by day. So do you say Yatzamotzi there or do you not? Someone makes a Bar Pergatim at a Kiddush. Then someone else comes in, a woman comes in, and she doesn't want to make a, she doesn't make her own Kiddush. So can the man be motzi her, make another Bar Pergatim on behalf of the woman? So that's a Shailen Poskos, so Machlokes HaRishonim at the end of Rosh Hashanah. So we pask in Taka Lakula that you can be motzi. You can say a Bar Pergatim, even though you just made a Bar Pergatim. You can motzi someone else because it's a Bracha Shel Chova. But not everyone agrees. Some say that no, it has to be mitzuref to another bracha shel chova in order for the din of yatzamotzi to kick in. So if you're not going to give the second bracha, if you, the bracha shehakol bar lefodo is going to be separated from the bar pergafin, you'll give it to two different people. So then, even though the bar pergafin of birchas nisuin is midin of the gemara, there is a reason to say that maybe the rule of yatzamotzi doesn't apply for that. So then maybe the person who gets the bar pergafin should actually be towing from the coast. The reality is that many are maker even by the birchas nisuin. Our Chashulchan writes in Evan Ezer and Simon Samach Beis Sifches. He says the minig is that the Mesarek Kedushin doesn't haste from the coast show birchas erisin. He doesn't drip on his fingers, not just in COVID, but he does not whether. I mean, obviously, if there will be a sakana, so you shouldn't lick your fingers and then touch the coast. That's obviously not appropriate. But even where there's no sakana, there's no need. Our Chashulchan says that's not the minig. Why is it not the minig? But the Birchas Erisin is only a minig. It's not midin of the Gemara. So if it's just a Birchas Anenin, if the rule of Yatzimotzi doesn't apply to a Birchas Anenin, it's not a Birchas Anenin. It's not a Birchas Anenin Shalchova because it's not midin of the Gemara. So if it's really just a Birchas Anenin, if the rule of Yatzimotzi doesn't apply, so why shouldn't he taste a little bit? So Lachora, the reason is that even if it's not Medina the Gemara, it's only a minig, and now that we've been doing it for hundreds of years, it became like a Davar Shalchova. So even if originally it didn't start as a Davar Shalchova, maybe now it is treated like a Davar Shalchova, and it's like a Davar Shalchova, so then the rule of Yatzimotzi will apply, so then there's no need for the Mesarek Kedushin to taste from the kos. And I think that's what most Mesarek Kedushin do. And some are Makbid, you know, they'll fill up the kos very high, and it'll drip a little bit, and then they'll taste a little bit at some point, and they'll wipe their hands with a tissue or something. But they'll figure out a way that they're not going to touch the coast with that hand or something with the air, you know, with the hand that touched the lip. Whatever. There are some misadric illusion that are makbid, but most I think are not. Most just make the bracha. They assume the rule of yatzamotzi can apply. Because I guess they assume that the birchas hanen and bizman hazeh already is good as a birchas chova. So the rule of Yatzimotzi can apply to that bracha. Yes?
Those who are makbid like Rukhan, what's the reason you need to be like toying it in such a way? Why wouldn't you just like pour it and drink it or drink it normally?
Because it looks funny. Right. Technically speaking, it would be better to say, you know, to make a clock, say a shtikl tara, explain why you're doing it. Right. So I guess Rukhan didn't want it to look like, you know, he's makbid for things that other people are not makbid. That's why he did it in a way that no one should notice except Rav Simcha Zeilig Rieger. Right? The Dayan and Brisk noticed. And then he told it to the Yafika Yam. So now everyone knows. But okay, Rav Chaim didn't realize Rav Simcha Zeilig was going to be mefarsem his chumrah. He probably didn't want people to know that he was such a machmir. So that's why he tried to do it in a more hidden way. We're talking so much about tasting from the coast of Birchas Eris and Birchas Nisun. How much do you have to drink? So the Masada Kedushin is not going to drink a shear. And he just tastes a little bit, but do the chasen and kala have to drink a shir? Or can they just like just wet their lips with a little bit of the kos? So there is a rule that hamavarach tzarach shiyutum, that when you have a kos shel bracha, there has to be a te'ima. That's a chashivas for the kos. It's not right just to make a bracha on the kos and not to taste from the kos. So the question is, how much do you have to drink? So the rule in general, the Ran in Arvei Psochim says the rule in general is that you have to drink him a lo lugmov. If you have to drink a cheekful, what's a cheekful? The Ran there says rov revius in an average person. Rov revius. What's a revius? A revius is 1.5 beitza. That's how they estimate. A kazayas is half a beitza, and a revius is 1.5 beitza. 3 kazayasim, that's what a revius is. So kimelo lugmov is, I guess, 3/4 of a beitza, right? Kimelo lugmov is a rov revius. So the way, just to put it into fluid ounces, Rav Moshe holds actually two different shiurim for what a revius is, lechumra and lekula, based on how the cheshbon is made, how the calculation is made. But lekula, the shiur revius, is about 3.3 fluid ounces. So rov revius would be about 1.7 fluid ounces, about 1.7, a little bit more than a shot glass. That's kimelo lugmov. So the question is, do you have to drink him? Look, really? By the Birchas Seves and Birchas Nisuin, you really do. Rav Moshe told Rav Shechter at Rav Shechter's Chassidim. He told him, he says, he thinks since the Birchas Nisuin is Medina de Gemara, you should have to drink him a little bit more. That's a real kosher bracha. But the Birchas Erisin is not Medina de Gemara, it's just a minig. So for that, a te'ima bilvad is enough. You don't have to drink a full shiur. But that's a bit cooler. So then we can give to Chasan and Kala from the Birchas Erisin. And as long as they taste a little bit, it's fine. The bracha was chal for them. But the Birchas Erisin is certainly for them. They're the ones getting married. So it's good for them to taste from the coast as well, because the coast, the bracha was said for them. So they should taste on the coast, but a te'ima for the Birchas Erisin is enough. But how about for the Birchas Nisuin? Rav Moshe seems to assume that you have to have a real te'ima, you have to drink him a lo lugmov by the Birchas Nisuin, because it's Medina de Gemara. It's a real kosher bracha. So what are you supposed to do? So it would seem as though Rav Moshe would hold that someone has to drink him a lo lugmov. So who's going to do it? Is the chassan going to do it? Most chassanim do not drink 1.7 fluid ounces from the Birchas Nisuin. I think part of the problem is since we sort of feed them, right? We give them to drink, so we don't want to like force feed too much, right? It's complicated to feed someone 1.7 fluid ounces is going to take a little bit of time, and if you don't do it right, you're going to get it on his pants. You know, it's not going to. I don't think the chassan is as concerned as the kala is, right? If you get the kala, if you get it on the kala's dress, so that's not pleasant. That is, by the way, why they always use white wine. Chassans. They didn't always. 50 years ago, they used red wine. Red wine is always good as mochashev. So red wine has chashivas, right? When it comes to the Seder night, we try to use red wine. But when it comes to a chassan, do not use red wine. Use white wine, because even if it spills, no one sees it. That's the yisod. And I've heard horror stories when they still use the red wine. I've heard the Sabbat Kiddushin who talked about how they have spilled on the kala. And the kala never allows them to forget it. You know, for the next 50 years, they should live and be well. But now we only use white wine because we don't want any accidents that would not be pleasant for the photographer. So what do you do over here? So some are makel for the shita in the poskim in Hilchas Kiddush that maybe two people together can be mitzdarif for the shir. That it's not necessary for one person to drink him lo lugmav, which is a shita, right? The shita that we're normally machmir for is one person should drink him lo lugmav. But there is a day that two people can starve together, so maybe the chassan and kala can starve together. The reality is, I'm not even sure the chassan and kala together drink him lo lugmav. They probably only taste a little bit. It's not so simple. It's not so simple that that's the right thing to do. It might be more appropriate for the chassan to try to drink a little bit more. He doesn't have to drink him lo lugmav mamish, but maybe if he'll drink, an ounce or so, and the kala will drink, I don't know, 0.3, 0.4 ounces, she'll drink a little bit. Maybe between the two of them, we'll get to the 1.7 fluid ounces. It's not so posh. You know, if it's Medina de Gemara, there really should be a chiyuv to drink. Look, you can be yotze the kosher bracha, but this extra halacha, v'hamavarech tzor shiyita, which is a chashivas in the kosher, you're not going to be yotze. So it's not really appropriate to do that. It's better for the chassan to drink more of the shiyah. What do you do about a bracha achrona? So if the chassan drinks less than kamelo lugmav and he's just relying on the fact that chassan and kala are going to drink together, so then he doesn't have to make a bracha achrona. Because the shiur of a bracha achrona on mashkim, it's a machlokas, it's either kamelo lugmav or kezayis or revias. So actually, I take back what I said. If he drinks at least half a beitzah, which is less than kimlo lugmav. Kimlo lugmav is 3/4 of a beitzah. So if he drinks half a beitzah, or according to some, a third of a beitzah's worth of drink, that already might be a kezayis. So, and the shiur might be a kezayis, right? A fluid ounce of a kezayis, the volume of a kezayis. So if he drinks even that amount, there's a shaila of a bracha achron. So the best thing to do is not to drink a full shiur, not to drink, a full revis. Make sure you drink a full revius and like sit down, while everyone is dancing, while everyone is singing and wants you to go to the yichud room, you'll be sitting there in a corner making the bracha chona. That's not the right thing to do. That's too much of a chumrah. But the best thing, Rabbi Shechter says, the best thing to do is if you drink from the coast, you drink a shir, somewhat of a shir, but it's not a revius, so we don't know for sure that you need a bracha chona. So just be sure that in the yichud room you eat some cookies or something. When you make a bracha chana for the cookies, then you'll be mitzarif, the wine also. You can make an ala michya, make an ala gefen too. You'll be mitzarif, the wine to the ala michya. Then you'll be yotzei for the wine that you drank under the chuppah. But it's probably appropriate to drink a little bit more than what they normally give to chassan and kallah. It's not so difficult. We're talking about a shot glass, really. So as long as the chassan wants his father, right? If he wants his father and his father-in-law, I want you to give me a little bit more. It doesn't take so much to drink, 1.5 ounces, 1.7 ounces. Not so difficult. So if you do that, then you're drinking kashir. But a shayla with the bracha achrona, so as long as you make a bracha achrona in the yichur, be mitzarif it, then you'll be yotze l'chalotetz. We make the birchas erisin and the birchas nisuin. We're talking so much about the bar piagofen. It turns out you make a bar piagofen for each. So some ask, how can you make a bar piagofen both for the birchas erisin and birchas nisuin? Stach a bracha l'vatol. You made a bar piagofen for the birchas erisin. 5 minutes later, you're going to make the bar piagofen again. So what are you doing that for? Dagos Maimon, he quotes in the Tshuvas Rashi that we make a hefsek between the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin. The Dafka for this reason, that we don't want the Bar Piagofen or the Birchas Nisuin to be a bracha levatov. So what do we do? So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that the minhag is we're mafsek with the reading of the Ksuba. I mean, why do we read the Ksuba under the Chuppah? You have to read the Ksuba. Everyone knows what the Ksuba says. Like, what's the inyan to read the Ksuba? It's a good keyboard, and the person who gets it, he has a lot of FaceTime, and you have him on the video, and it's all exciting. And okay, but that minute developed before they had videos, right? So, what's the purpose? So the Ramah says that we're mafsik with the Kriyas HaKsuba to be mafsik between the Bar Piagofen of the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin. Rav Shechter points out that it's a little difficult because how long a hefsek is that? 5 minutes? Okay, you can read the Ksuba, with drama and whatever. Different people read the Ksuba in different ways, but in the end, la'achar kol ha'maisa, it's not so long. It's not such a hefsek. Rav Shechter suggests that if a Rav wants to give a drasha, that's where he should give the drasha. Not before the Sheva Brachas. Not after the Sheva Brachas, right before they go to the Yichudu. Before the Sheva Brachas, between the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin, have the drasha. Now, you don't want it to be too long a drasha, because the Olam's not going to be happy with that. But okay, 6-7 minutes you can have, that's okay. 7 minutes, maybe. 5 minutes. So between the ksuba and the 5 minutes of the drasha, it's already 10 minutes. That's already a significant hefsek. If that's a significant hefsek, then that would be even better. You don't have too many drashas under the chuppah nowadays. So I guess the old minute is to be mafsik with the kriyas haksuba. And we consider that to be sufficient that... It's not a bracha levatol. I mean, someone else is making the second bar piagofen, so maybe it's not viewed as a bracha levatol. But it is a chiddush. Definitely is a chiddush. Rav Shechter is also very fond of pointing out that the Mogen Avraham writes that you should not be mafsik between the birchas nisuin and the yichudu. To be choshesh for the shita of the Rambam that yichud is nisuin. So if yichud is nisuin, you have to make the brachas and then you have to do nisuin. So if you're going to be mafsik with all the dancing and the singing and the back and the forth and this and that, it can take 10-15 minutes to walk to the yichud room. It's a big hafsik. So he holds that you're really not supposed to be mafsik. He's found according the lashon of the Maril. Maril says, "Miritzen es hachasan ve es hakala lecheder hayichud." We race the chasan and kala to the cheder hayichud. That's okay. I don't know if you have to race them, but you have to walk. Sometimes there's a lot going on in that process, right? They'll be walking there, and they'll make a circle around the chasan and kala. The kala, people are wishing mazel tov to the kala along the way, and to the chassan, and to the kala, and to the chassan, and they're stopping them, and this and that. It could take a long time. So maybe the long time, that it shouldn't take. Try to make it as short as possible. I don't think you have to race them. The question of the maril is that you're really supposed to run. I think in the chassidish circles, right? The chassan and the kala, they run down the aisle. They race them to the yichud room. So they never, I guess, they didn't hear of Eitan Katz or something. Not so into all the... this is not advertising, but like they're not, I guess they just do things the way that they do things. So they do race to the Yichud room. But in our circles, it's not a race, but at the same time, one should try to minimize so that they can get to the Yichud room as quickly as possible to minimize the hefsek between the Birchas Nisuin and the Yichud. Let's just close with the minig. There are several minhagim at the chasana that are zeichel achorban. We know we break a plate at the tnoim when they read the tnoim. We break a kos at the chuppah. Zeichel achorban. Someone just told me over Shabbos that he was at a chasana And if someone made like a whole deal about his breaking of the kos, it's like, I mean, jumped up and broke it with two feet. It's not funny. It's not trying to be funny. It says Eichel Churban. It's pretty sad. So we should keep the emotion. The emotion should be taken to heart when we break the kos at the churban. There's a minute to put Efer Makle, to put ash on the makom tefillin of the chassan, not on his forehead, on the makom tefillin of the chassan as a zeichel l'churban. Some Masadri Kiddushin do that in the bridal, in the groom's chambers before the chuppah. The Rav was very adamant, he was medaktik to do it after the Birchas Nisun, at the chuppah, because he says that he doesn't have the status of a chassan until then. So before Imesh Kochech, before they break the plate, some Masadri Kiddushin will put ash on the head of the chassan as a zeichel l'churban. And finally, there's an old minhag that the chassan and kala don't wear an atara. They don't wear a crown. What does that mean? What does it mean? It's unclear exactly what the crown is. Does it mean a tiara? I hope not. Yeah, I mean, it means some kind of a fancy thing. So, you know, the kalas will wear a fancy headband, but they don't wear tachshit. The minhag, the interpretation of this minhag is that you shouldn't wear any nice jewelry. So that's the minhag that the kala will take off her jewelry. She'll give her jewelry, her necklaces and whatnot. She'll give it to her earrings. She'll give that to her friends because it's viewed as a skula. It's a skula for other people who are not married, that they should find the right shidduch. But she doesn't take off the jewelry for the skula. Once you're taking off the jewelry anyway, so she gives it to the friends for the skula. But taking off the jewelry, that's the old minhag. It's a zeichel l'churban, that a kala does not adorn herself in the same way that she would. Bizman shebeisim yirish kayim. Rav Shechter points out that a chassan as well, there is a minhag that a chassan takes off his jewelry as well. What chassan is wearing jewelry? No, so if a chassan has a fancy watch, if you got a chassan watch, that could be pretty expensive. So such a watch might have a din of jewelry, so it is appropriate for the chassan to take off that watch. So he doesn't have to give it to his friends, but put it in his pocket or give it to his father or whatever, but not to wear the watch. For the same reason that both chassan and kala take away some of their adornments, to keep in mind that it's a to keep in mind that the churban based on English, and that's really that's part of the message. Part of the message of a chassan is that the chassan and kala have to realize that despite the fact that they're besimcha, but they have to remember, you know, the sad parts of Jewish history. We have to remember the churban based on English, and to keep in mind that if they build a bayis neman b'Yisrael in the proper way with the proper kavanas, understanding, keeping in mind what they're supposed to keep in mind, then hopefully their bayis neman b'Yisrael will be the beginning, that'll be a step that'll bring us closer to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.